Welcome back. We are still looking at meat in due season. And we thank the Lord for giving us a good background that we can understand that there are seasons, there are times in His agenda. And each of these seasons has its own word, also known as the meat for that season. Okay, sir. But still looking at this, sir, where our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking in Matthew 24 and verse 45, did our Lord Christ, did He have any specific season in mind when He was speaking there?
The mystery of redemption. It's very interesting, very, very interesting when God grants you understanding. If you're going to understand the New Testament, you must first understand the type, the shadow of the Old Testament. Mm. Wow. In Exodus chapter 16, for instance.
Okay.
Let's take some reading there.
Yes,
from verse 11.
Exodus 16 from 11.
Yes.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying.
Now, this murmuring is hunger. They were in the wilderness, there was no food. You know, they were hungry, so they were grumbling. Okay, so this is the word of God for them.
Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God.
Uh-huh.
And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up.
In the evening the quails came up.
And covered the camp.
Uh-huh.
And in the morning the dew lay round about the host.
Uh-huh.
And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna.
It is what?
Manna.
Manna.
For they wist not what it was.
They didn't know what it was.
And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.
Now, continue reading, because there's somewhere I want to get.
This is the thing which the Lord has commanded.
Yes.
Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating.
Go ahead.
And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning.
I want you to note this verse. What does he say again?
And Moses said, let no man leave of it
let
till the morning.
Let no man leave of it till the morning. Go on.
Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning.
Because I will make reference to this in my explanation later.
And it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth.
Again, verse 20.
Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning.
They left the manna until the morning.
And it bred worms
it
and stank.
It became corrupted and worms overtook it.
And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then you can read on and read on like that up to maybe verse 35 or so. Then you get the true picture there. Manna came from heaven, and they ate it for 40 years.
That's right.
In the wilderness.
True, sir.
Just wake up in the morning, wow, and they carry food, and then the manna, what is this? Mm. Now, what did Jesus mean by eating
meat in due season?
Eating meat in due season. Now, if we come back to John chapter 1, take note, verse 17.
John chapter 1 verse 17.
Yes.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
The law was given by who?
Moses.
By Moses. Well, that is one day.
The day of the law is different from the day of grace. Wonderful.
Grace and truth came by Jesus. That's another day.
True, sir.
That's why he's talking about spiritual food in due season. There was a season of the law.
True, sir.
And there's a season of grace. Now, the season of the law. Now, for you to understand, now, John chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
Now, from verse 31.
Our fathers did eat manna in the desert.
Uh-huh.
As it is written, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert.
That's where we read in Exodus 16.
As it is written,
as it is written,
he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven.
You see?
But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
My Father giveth thee
the true bread from heaven.
Hmm.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.
You see? And who is he referring to?
Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not.
So that means that bread, the manna that was given, physical manna was to satisfy the physical flesh. Hunger.
Yeah.
Now there is another manna for this day. It is not spiritual food, not physical manna.
Amen.
It's not spiritual manna.
Amen.
I say he is the manna.
That's right.
Now that same chapter 6, if you read from verse 47, John 6, 47. 47 verily, up to, keep reading.
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
yes.
He that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Uh-huh.
I am that bread of life.
Yeah, I am that bread of life.
Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
They are dead now, but this one.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. That a man may eat thereof and not die.
And not die.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Now, so you will catch something here. That Jesus was actually using this opportunity to tell them, the bread that you will eat will be me, to receive me. This time now it's not physical eating.
True, sir.
It is not a spiritual thing. So what did Jesus say that talk about food in spiritual? Spiritual food.
Meat in due season.
Meat in due season. Now I have some scriptures I want to make us understand. When the Bible speaks about in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, let's read it.
Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
When Ephesians 2:20 says he's the chief cornerstone, that means you understand why he said grace and truth. The law came by Moses. So he's the one that turned the corner. He's the one that turned the corner.
From law to grace.
From law to grace. He's the one that turned it. And he is building his house, the spiritual house, the building process is going on. So he is the one you will follow. He is the one that will tell you when to do what to do. And that's exactly the description of this season. His turn determined the season. His move determined the season. That's why Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Now, from verse 4 to verse 8, what does it say?
1 Peter 2 from verse 4 to 8.
Yes.
To whom coming as unto a living stone,
Disallowed
indeed of men.
Is rejected of men.
But chosen of God and precious.
Chosen of God and is very precious.
Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house.
Because there's a building that is going on.
An holy priesthood
to
offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus
Christ. By Jesus, yes.
Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone.
Zion, there is Israel.
Elect, precious.
He is elect. He's chosen for that purpose. is precious before the sight of God.
And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Go ahead.
Unto you therefore which believeth, he is precious.
Uh-huh.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling.
It's a stone of stumbling because people will not know.
Mm, uh-huh. And the rock of offense.
You see?
Even to them which stumble at the word.
At the word.
Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
Okay. And that is what you see in Isaiah 28 and verse 16.
Therefore, thus said the Lord God.
Yes.
Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make it.
And Psalm 118,
yes, sir.
Verse 22.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner.
Okay, so that you'll understand what Jesus means, spiritual food in due season. You know, take note of our text scripture.
Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?
Now, the emphasis here is the faithful and wise.
Oh, wonderful.
The faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler. The emphasis here is ruler over his house. Now, who are these servants? They are Ephesians.
Hallelujah. The fivefold ministry.
The fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:11. What are they?
The apostles.
Apostles.
The prophets.
Prophets.
The evangelists. The pastors and the teachers.
For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
Now, the Bible also calls them overseers. The Bible calls them shepherds. The Bible calls them elders.
Yes, sir.
The Bible also calls them bishops. They are all servants of the householder.
Hallelujah.
And Christ is the owner of the house. We are his servant, including you. Olumide, asking question here.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
And who is that faithful
and wise?
And wise, you should be able to know what season you are in to be able to give the right food
for that season.
For that season, it's so important.
So someone cannot come in this season of grace,
no,
and come and start preaching to us the law of Moses.
No. That when he say wise, he told Timothy that from that was a child.
And from a child. That was known the Holy Scriptures.
The Holy Scriptures is able to make the wise unto salvation.
The scripture that comes to my mind, sir, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5.
Yes.
It says, whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. And the wise man's acts. Discerning both time and judgment.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. A wise man's heart. That is where the wisdom is. Discern it. He said you can discern this. You cannot discern the signs of the times. You know, you can know. You have your weather report until you can see a hurricane coming 1 week before it arrives. But you cannot see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That is a man for you.
Okay, sir, let's go a little bit deeper. So what season are we in now? Well, Ramadan, winter, summer, or spring?
First and foremost, whatever you see going on, I think it is Amos, he said, the Lord doeth nothing
but revealeth his secret to his servants the prophets.
Thank you
very
much.
Amos chapter 3 and verse 7.
He does nothing.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets.
Now, now whatever God is going to do concerning his salvation, they are already prophetically spoken.
Amen.
There is nothing new. It is only the revelation that becomes new to you because it's a mystery until it is. No. God doesn't just wake up and say, okay, now let me do this. It's already done. Now, 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 Isaiah, for instance, chapter 7, verse 14, is a prophecy.
That's right. Isaiah 7, 14 says what? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
Now,
and shall call his name Emmanuel.
And it took so long, according to theology, over 700 years.
Yes, sir.
So, when it is fulfilled, you see now, it is fulfilled for a particular time.
Matthew 1.
So, when in Matthew chapter 1, it fulfilled, we all know the story, Christ, was he not born by a virgin?
True, sir.
To fulfill scripture. It is very important that you take note of that. You notice that in Galatians, for instance, chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Verse 16.
Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
Now there is a promise to Abraham made to his seed. Now in verse 4 of chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4.
But when the fullness of the time was come.
So that is the season. What happened?
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
He was fulfilling scripture. You know, he made a promise to Abraham of a seed, and we are seeing the seed today. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth
be blessed.
And who is that seed?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, if you also look at Isaiah 53, let me just pick some of these things here and here.
Yes, sir.
From verse 1.
Who hath believed our report?
Uh-huh.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Uh-huh.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant,
uh-huh,
and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him.
Uh-huh.
He is despised and rejected of men.
Oh, yes.
A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Uh-huh.
And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Oh, yes.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
When was this fulfilled? At the cross.
That's right.
2,000 years ago.
Amen.
So that was the fulfillment of God's word for that day. You know that the disciples went when Christ was telling them, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ was telling them, a sign will be given to you. No other sign than the sign of Prophet Jonah. 3 days you'll be in the belly of the earth, and 3 days he will rise. So shall he rose. So shall the Son of Man also be raised. They still didn't understand. But by the time you come to Matthew 28, verse 5 and verse 8.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said.
Uh-huh.
Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy.
Doing what?
And did run to bring his disciples word.
Which word was he bringing? He is risen.
Hey, that's right.
What's the message after that? Risen. Will you be talking he's crucified again?
I see it clearly now.
He is risen.
Okay, because in Matthew 16, he said, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem.
How he must
and
go.
Must suffer and die.
Yes.
But when we come to chapter 28,
yes,
he can't tell them he will go again and suffer.
No,
and die.
Now he says that is now the message for that day is he is risen and their faith muscles were built. They now have their hope. of resurrection. Thereafter, they began to see him to confirm that he's risen, because the message for that time is he is risen. He is risen. Spiritual food in due season is also the fulfillment of scriptures for that day. Now, in John chapter 2, for instance, in verse 28 and verse 29, there is a promise there.
John chapter 2, verse 28.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days.
What will happen?
Will I pour out my spirit?
And go to Acts chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
From verse 1.
Acts 2 from verse 1.
Yes.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Yes.
As suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven.
Yes.
Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own
language. Go to verse 12, 13, 14.
And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?
What meaneth this?
Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day.
But what?
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet.
Again?
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet.
So many hundred years ago this was spoken. Now the manifestation is the meat in due season.
Hallelujah. The fulfillment.
This is that which was written,
which was spoken, by the prophet Joel.
Say what?
And it shall come to pass in the last days.
Yes.
Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see, dream dreams.
Now, another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3.
Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness.
Say what?
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Now, go to John chapter 1 and verse 19.
John 1, 19.
Yes.
And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou?
Who art thou?
And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?
What sayest thou of thyself?
He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
He was quoting Isaiah 40 verse 3.
Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.
So the prophecy that Isaiah gave so many hundred years ago is now being fulfilled. It becomes God's word for your day. It becomes spiritual. And that's why all that recognized him went there and they were baptized. You want me to give you more?
Please, sir.
Now, one that fits in what we want to discuss immediately, you know, is Luke chapter 4. We read part of it earlier.
Yes, sir.
Let's read it from verse 16.
Luke chapter 4 from verse 16.
Yes.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was.
Now let's read the prophecy first.
Okay.
Let's go to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2.
Isaiah 61 verse 1.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Verse 2.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Two things he will do here in verse 2. What and what?
The acceptable year of the Lord.
And what?
And the day of vengeance of our God.
To comfort all that mourn. Then let's go back now.
Luke 4:16.
Yes.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up.
Uh-huh.
And as his custom was,
yes,
he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, uh-huh, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
That's right.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he, uh-huh, had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Uh-huh.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, uh-huh, to preach deliverance to the captives."
What, which scripture is he quoting?
Isaiah 61.
Isaiah 61:1.
Uh-huh. And recovering of sight to the blind,
uh-huh,
to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Oh, glory be to God.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Go on. He did not complete that verse 2.
That's right.
Verse 19 of Luke chapter 4 is verse 2 of Isaiah 61. He quoted one part because it is, there are two things that will be done in verse 2 of Isaiah 61.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord
and
the day of vengeance.
But
of
if
God.
You come here now, verse 19, what did he say?
To preach the acceptable year of
the
Lord.
The next verse.
And he closed the book.
He did what?
He closed the book.
He closed the book.
And he gave it again to the minister,
uh-huh,
and sat down.
Uh-huh.
And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Uh-huh.
And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears."
Now, which scripture? There are two activities there in verse 2
of
the prophecy he read.
That's right.
The one he quoted, the acceptable year of the Lord, was the one that was being fulfilled that time. It becomes the spiritual meat in due season.
Hallelujah.
Because it is a season for salvation.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord is the day of vengeance. It's the next one. He will come and fulfill it.
Amen.
When we'll be judging the whole world on the day of the Lord, he will also tell them, he will quote this one again, say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes."
That's right.
Spiritual food, meat in due season. So what was your question again?
What season are we in now?
The season that we are in now, I want you to note something. We read grace. The law came by
Moses
in John 1:17.
Yes, sir.
But grace and truth
came by Jesus Christ.
Yes. Now, this grace, it is the grace that bringeth salvation.
Hallelujah.
Came by Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said, "Go and preach the gospel to all creatures. He that believe
and is baptized
shall be saved." Salvation. "He that believeth not shall be condemned."
That's right.
So this grace that came by Jesus, it is completely the work of God for salvation on us. So now we are to pass through four works of grace, which you have been teaching us, being our teacher. Four works of grace. So now, when Jesus said he is the chief cornerstone, remember that there is a work, I repeat, there is a work to be done. And that is why when we talk about the seven church ages, and I always, we don't downplay any word of God.
That's right.
But you see, I'm saying this now because I'm a teacher. Honestly speaking, when I came into this message, I came across a group of people, preachers of this end time message, that laid a lot of emphasis in outward appearance of a Christian. And anytime you want to lay emphasis of a holiness and place it, I mean, outward look as evidence of holiness in this age, attention is always going to the women.
That's right.
Because the man has no problem with dressing. It's the woman that has problem with the fashion. So for about 8 years that I was worshiping with these assemblies, each time they kept talking about women dressing, it didn't concern me because I'm not a woman. So it didn't mean anything to me. Don't palm your hair. Don't do that. I was more interested in my own. One that affects me is the one I used to take seriously. When you are hammering women, I am off because I only be laughing because it has nothing to do with me. I didn't know that one day I will also have the responsibility of coming to preach. Therefore, I will have to cover every area. I want you to understand, therefore, my approach of the gospel. Just like somebody will say, why is Josiah was 22 years old when he was became a king? Another account says he was chronicle say he was 42 years. That means the Bible is contradicting itself. So the next thing that comes to me, whether he's 12 or 30, what has that got to do with my salvation? So that won't bother me so much. Now the same thing also, you know, when you want to begin to emphasize how old was Abraham before he died? I should not bother myself how old he was before he died. How does it affect? Except there is something that you want to bring out that concerns myself. And I think this is, at this stage, you know, we talk about scriptures that will make you wise unto salvation. It's what we should be hammering on.
True, sir.
You know, I want to place my emphasis on things I should know so that I'm not caught unaware when the Lord will come. Things that I should know to position me for homegoing. Now, as a believer also, I am concentrating myself on knowing that the Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh even the enemies to be at peace with him. And I found out that if I will live peaceably on earth, I should concentrate on living a life pleasing before my God. Therefore, that is how I'll be concentrating. What will I, how will I fall off? God is not interested in me knowing how old Olumide is when he was ordained. What has that got to do with me? It's theology. Is this. Now I say this because when we come to the seven church ages, you know, first church, Fisher, it is so person, it is Apostle Paul, second church age, this one, and this third church age is this one. To me, all that one is theology. Until no, it's not erroneous. It is not this one. It's not this. It's all gone. The one that concerns me is the shout.
That's right.
The coming of the Lord. Therefore, the first church age, four church ages doesn't affect me. What affects me is the corn plant growth.
That's right.
You know, because we, in this age, in this period that we are in, we are product of the restoration ministry.
True, sir.
Any other thing is history. And we need to know history, of course, to understand how his characteristics. Because knowing the past will help us know how to walk with him now. Perfect. Not need to know history, why Israel fell. Each time I carry I see a news item, a pastor is in the news, negatively in the news. I like to read it because I'm also a pastor, so I don't make the same mistake. That's okay. You know, I read stories of why Samson fell, why Ahab fell, why Saul fell. I read scriptures about why Esau fell. I read scriptures, you know, about Isaac. And the concubines, and then what do I learn from the story of Ruth? What do I learn about the story of King Ahasuerus and all his chamberlains and all the maidens? And the story of why Eve fell and Adam, why you enter what you didn't commit. You know, we learn from it. And then we want to see, you know, the history of the church, how those who are on this same pathway we are going through, what they went through, and so that it prepares our mind to know what to expect. That is how it is. But when it comes to some history, where we begin to lay emphasis that can affect me now, I want to look at the restoration ministry, because the coming of the Lord is in three stages, and we're in the first stage. And I want to know where I am. This is very important for the bride of Christ to know.
That's right.
You know, so that all this one, William Branham did not keep beards. Don't keep beards. Can imagine that a pastor had to drive a minister from his church because the minister is keeping beards and William Branham didn't keep beards and things. You know, sisters, William Branham church, did not, women did not cover hair. Why are you covering hair? And then there's even a very senior army officer was sharing his testimony with me, how he came across the message. And the group he went to join, he just knew something was wrong, you know. Say, everybody must wear suit. Either when you are coming to church, all the men must wear suit and all the women must dress certain way. And he just felt, what has that got to do with it? Why must I dress like an American? You know, to be, but we have our own culture now. We have our cloth, that the cloth of a gentleman in Africa. He said, and a lot of other questions until he met Bright Television and things
Lord.
Like that.
Amen.
So I'm giving you this background, not just for me, because we have followers.
True, sir.
We want to make sure we put them on the proper pathway. But this topic you're choosing is very important. It's timely, let me put it that way.
Amen.
So that people will know where God is. You know, and please, you know, I want you to note something in Exodus 16. I don't want to forget this point.
Exodus chapter 16.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You know, I want you to note that every day, every day, in fact, you are to carry, verse 16, please read
this
it.
This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man live of it till the morning.
Till the morning. What will happen?
Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses.
If you ask, what will happen?
But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank.
That is, it became rotten.
And Moses was wroth with them.
Why will he not be angry? Because when you do that, you're going to bring problem to the camp. So there is the food for today. Now, now, remember that the one that got rotten today was the fresh food for yesterday.
That's right.
But it has achieved its purpose. You are now to find out what is the one for today. Amen. Now you watch what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning the coming of the Lord in Matthew 24, 28. What does he say?
Matthew 24, verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Now we have two birds that gather around carcasses. We have vulture.
That's right.
And we have eagles.
That's right.
Now, the difference is that the eagle goes only where there is a fresh kill. While the vulture will go to where the rotting one is. Wherever the rotting food is, the smell is what attracts them. The vulture goes there to eat the rotting food. So, any food that is rotting, and you see people eating it, they are vultures.
Yay.
Because all the eagles, we eat only
the fresh
food. So, wherever the carcass is,
there will the eagles be gathered together.
Now, the one that eagle reject is what the vulture enjoy.
That's right.
Oh, glory be to God.
Yeah, you, sir.
Before we came on air, you were pointing something to me that the Pentecostal believe that they have been having revival. But it is something that the eagles have moved away from.
The vulture revival.
It is a vulture revival. Why do I say so? Why do I say so? Because now, from verse 27,
Okay. For as the lightning cometh out
Proverbs
of the east.
Proverbs 26, what does it say?
Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth.
Uh-huh.
Behold, he is in the secret chamber.
It's concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, yes?
Believe it not.
Yes.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east,
uh-huh,
and shineth even unto the west,
yes,
so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
You see? And then he now added,
for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Okay. Now, is it the book of Luke 2 we'll be taking?
Luke 17.
Yes. Now read it. Read verse 34.
Concerning, I tell you.
Now, and this is talking about the pool.
That's right.
To go in the rapture. Now, here, he uses the sun. He uses the sun moving from the east
to the west.
To the west. And then he ended up, just as it is moving, where the caca is. Now, listen again from verse 34.
I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left.
Uh-huh.
Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Uh-huh.
Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Now, go on.
And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord?
Where will this be taking place? I see the answer.
And he said unto them,
uh-huh,
wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
So it is where it moves to, they will move. That is why he says, where the body is, where the caca is, there the eagles will gather. So it is about movement. It's about movement. If you don't move with what is offered for you for today, you will be left to eat the one for the leftover. And it's usually rotten because it is of no effect for that day. As far as salvation is concerned. So when he said that the coming of the Lord, maybe we read the First Thessalonians chapter 4 again.
First Thessalonians chapter 4, yes, and verse 16.
And verse 16.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
First with what?
With a shout.
Uh-huh.
With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay. Now, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want to give, there is some quote I want to, if I don't know if I will still get it now. William Branham brought this out very clearly. Now, listen. When the time for the shout came up, and this is where the followers of the minister William Branham, many, generality of it all, miss it until this further light,
hallelujah,
that we are swimming in now.
Amen.
Came
and
up.
Amen.
And they are so confused. One identification. One identification of a cult, cultish religion, is that they are not teachable.
Wow.
They are not teachable. One identification of people who are just religious and have no Holy Ghost to lead them. One identification is the identification that you see, the characteristic of Cain. They are not teaching. But there's nothing in them to receive any further light. Even God himself come to teach Cain. Cain could not accept it.
That's right.
Because there's nothing in him. And that is what differentiates, you know, the vultures
from the eagles.
From the eagles.
Hallelujah.
You know, with the same message that William Branham preached, you are showing them. Hey, stop that.
Amen.
So now you will notice something that your question is, what season are we in now? You see, the shout is that revival in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6.
Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou art not the oil and the wine."
Is it not that the black horse rider?
That's right.
Is that not the dark ages?
True, sir.
Where the word of God completely goes off, fulfilling Matthew 13 verse 33 parable.
That's right.
Three measures of meal, three works of grace, corrupted with false doctrine until the whole meal, meat induces. The whole meal was corrupted.
That's right.
So, the revival you see there, the oil and the wine is a revival. Mm. It's the response to the shout.
Hallelujah.
So, remember Jesus is cornerstone. So, he took a corner. Mm. The elect that were in darkness came out. So, what was it? It was season for the restoration.
Amen.
Of the first work of grace. By your teaching is the second work of grace. Which is justification.
That's right.
The message, and God used Luther. Mm. The message that Luther preached was the meat in that season.
Hallelujah.
It was a season for justification.
Amen.
When it was time to move further, two men, two groups of people.
Mm. Luke 17. Yes, sir.
Now, they left some behind.
That's right.
That was the manner for that day. Mm. You move on to sanctification. God chose a man. John Wesley. That was the meat for that day. Mm. The justification you carried here, the strength you received from yesterday, add the one for today so that you have more strength.
That's right.
If not, the one for yesterday will not be enough. Mm. That was the meat for that day. Mm. Then we came to Azusa Street Revival, the restoration of the gifts. Mm. God used a man, William Seymour.
True.
That was the meat
for that
season.
Hallelujah.
It was the restoration of the gift. In addition to the justification and the sanctification. That became the food for that day.
Amen.
And that
amen.
Is now. But after that, because you are coming from the dark ages, there are a lot of things to be done to get the product that was planted at Pentecost that
Amen.
Died at Nicaea, which we all know that history. Now, so there will be perfection ministry.
Hallelujah.
God raised a man, I believe. Hmm. No matter how some of you argue with me, I believe that is the ministry of that man, William Marion Branham, to perfect us,
Amen.
To produce the fruit. And this is why William Branham said it. So now you are asking me what day we are now. We are now in the perfection, fruit producing stage of that Mark chapter 4.
Mark chapter 4 from verse 26 to 29.
Yes.
And he said, "So is the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day,
uh-huh.
and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of
what
herself."
What is the first thing?
First, the blade.
The blade, which is justification.
Then the ear.
Sanctification.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
The restoration of the gifts.
But when the fruit is brought
forth. Now, the fruit is not yet brought forth. You have to, something has to happen for the fruit to be brought forth. That is the perfection ministry.
Mm. Immediately, he put it in the sickle.
And that is why William Branham said this in the message that he preached, that he titled God's Only Provided Place of Worship in 1965.
Wow.
In paragraph 90, this is what William Branham said. Well, that's the way, I'm quoting. It is in this age.
Hallelujah.
Season. That we are living in. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age.
Amen.
Spiritual
amen.
Meat induces it. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals, but we know that it is William Seymour. Found when? In their age.
Amen.
God's age and time to do it. He said, now the Pentecostals, this is the way he put it. That brother, I believe is one of his eyes was out, a color brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, the old Azusa Street. He was laughed at because he was a Negro. He was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age.
Amen.
Just a little body, a fellow could hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts.
Hallelujah.
So you, even William Branham acknowledged it. You see, in another message he preached in 1959, that he titled, What is the Holy Ghost? In paragraph 75, he said, Luther walked in one light.
Amen.
Because you have to move as the sun, the light, lightning from the east to the west. Okay. Wesley walked in another.
Another. That's right.
Wesley walked in one light. Pentecost walked in another.
That's right.
But we are walking on higher than that today.
Amen. And
if there's another generation, it will go beyond us.
Hallelujah.
Spiritual food
in
due season.
Amen and amen.
You see, then he now added this to prove what Moses had told them in Exodus 16. But the reason denominations are now, yes, what's that denomination? God will reveal a little something to somebody, and they will come and make a denomination around that belief that they have, and then God can't move any further. And they are guilty of it too. So you know, and many more quotes, such quotes that we have.
Hallelujah.
That shows that now we are in the age of
perfection.
Perfection.
So the meat for our season is perfection.
For the faithful and wise servant.
Okay. Sir, let me bring you one question here.
Yes.
Because of the loss of the ministry of William Branham.
Go ahead.
The ministry of Elijah. Elijah shall come first and restore all things. I will send you Elijah the prophet. Where do you place that in the seasons?
You see, I want you to note something here. The Gentiles, we have our season. And the Jews have their season.
Okay.
Now, what is the season for the Jews? The season for the Jews, see, they were expecting it. The Jews were expecting it. Now, because there was a prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Now, in Malachi chapter 4.
Amen.
In Malachi chapter 4. Thank you again for asking such dangerous questions. Dangerous, because I'm losing friends because of this understanding. From verse 4.
Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant.
Therefore, who is he talking to?
Israel.
Because the Gentiles were not following the law of Moses.
That's right.
So, take note. He's talking only to Jews.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Which I commanded it unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
He said, I will do what?
I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
What will he do?
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now, watch this. Each time we say this, I hope you have seen where I have placed the ministry of William Branham.
That's right.
I didn't throw him away. I even elevated him.
Perfection ministry.
Beyond the Laodicean Church age.
Messenger.
Which is William Seymour.
That's right.
William Seymour is the one. Oh.
Man.
Don't throw him away. Justification has a man. Sanctification has a man. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, restoration also has a man. Why are you people not calling the name of the man? Why are you not calling that? It irritates me. The day my eye opened to see this. And people want to defend that. You know. Why? Because the third beast in Revelation chapter 4 that God used to counter the Antichrist, the horse rider. The third beast is what?
He faced as a man.
As a man, because he's going to use man for justification, use man. But when the fourth seal, which is the
flying eagle,
the flying eagle there, the fourth seal is not for the Gentiles.
That's right.
The fourth seal is for
Israel.
And that marks the beginning of their revival.
Mm.
It is when the rapture takes place under the third seal.
Mm.
Then the covenant that ushers in the last week of Daniel 9, that was given to Daniel in that divine agenda,
yes,
in Daniel chapter 9. So you notice that the symbol of the faith, I mean, the beast that was used among the four beasts in Revelation chapter 4. Remember that the first seal was opened, Revelation chapter 6 from verse 1. The first seal that was opened, the first beast, and the first beast was
a lion.
Say, come and see. The second seal was opened, and he saw that red horse rider. The beast that said, come and see, was who?
An ox or a calf,
and the Bible says. Then the third one was the first as a man,
yes, sir,
for the third seal.
True, sir.
Now, but the fourth one, which was a pale horse rider, and which we all know is the color of the seed. Now, we have wrongly placed it as the Laodicean church age, as an age of deceit. No. I'm sorry, I understand it different. Now, the fourth seal there is who say come and see? It's a flying eagle. Why flying eagle? Because it is the Jewish revival and it is ushered in by a prophetic ministry that we see in Revelation chapter 11.
True, sir.
Now, but because the Jews know that there will be Elijah that will come before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And this Elijah is to do two things. To turn the heart of the father to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Now, and it is jumbled there, and anybody can pick it and confuse people. But not those with the Issachar anointing.
At all.
Not the bride of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, in Luke chapter 1, I hope I still have time to talk.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Now, look at it. The birth of John the Baptist, from verse 15.
For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink,
uh-huh,
and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
Uh-huh.
And many of the children of Israel shall lead turn to the Lord their God,
uh-huh,
and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias.
He's now quoting Malachi chapter 4.
He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Now you will notice here that he quoted the work that Elijah is supposed to do according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. What did he say?
He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
But the heart of the children to the fathers. So there will be two work that Elijah will do. John the Baptist was to come in the spirit of Elijah. That is why in John, Matthew chapter 17, in Matthew chapter 17, in the transfiguration, they saw
Moses, Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. Now, in verse 10,
and his disciples asked him, saying,
yes,
why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?
Why did the scribes say that Elijah must first come? What did Jesus say?
And Jesus answered and said unto them,
uh-huh,
Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things.
Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not.
Elijah had come already, and they knew him not. Go on.
But have done unto him whatsoever they listed.
Uh-huh.
Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them.
Now watch verse 13, what did he say?
Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
Of John the Baptist. So who is that Elijah that is to come?
John the Baptist.
Now, in Matthew 11 again, from verse 12.
And from the days of John the Baptist unto now,
what happens?
The kingdom of heaven suffered violence,
uh-huh.
and the violence take it by force.
Uh-huh.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John.
Verse 14.
And if ye will receive
it. If you will receive it.
This is Elijah which was for to come.
This is Elijah which was for to come. And he added,
he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, John came in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Yes, sir.
Under the Elijah anointing.
Amen.
To do a ministry, to introduce Christ.
Yes, sir.
To introduce grace. To tell you that the kingdom of God is at hand. To turn the heart of the religious fathers to something new that was coming up.
Amen.
Of course, he fulfilled it.
That's right.
Jesus acknowledged it.
Amen.
Now, but before the coming of the judgment now.
The dreadful day.
Yes. Remember. Now, the other part, to turn the heart of the children now, up to the apostolic fathers now. Because those children that John referred to became fathers.
True, sir.
Okay. And now, because they started the grace, and this grace will come back to the Jews. Now, so there will be a ministry that we usher in, you know, that will bring them back through that revival to now see Christ and accept what the apostles preached. It will come through a revival, but there will be two men that we see in Revelation chapter 11, and of course we saw it again in Matthew 17,
yes, sir.
That witnessed the coming of the Lord Jesus, the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is he to do? We saw what the prophecy said. Now, remember that he said the prophecy is for the Jews.
Amen.
John the Baptist prophesied to the Jews, not Gentiles.
True, sir.
The rapture takes place. Moses and Elijah in Revelation chapter 11 is prophesied in Jerusalem to the Jews.
Amen.
To fulfill Revelation chapter 10.
Amen.
And verse 11.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
He said he will prophesy again. It means he prophesied before.
That's right.
Where did he prophesy before? In Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh that was fulfilled that day was Israel.
True, sir.
They were all Jews. No Gentile there.
True, sir.
So you have to take note of that. So if they will prophesy again, it means it's a Jewish revival.
Hallelujah.
Again.
Amen.
Now, including you, Olumide, including Zoe, including me, we all say Elijah is coming 5 times. We say we have Elijah the Tishbite.
Elisha.
We have Elisha. Then we now say we have John the Baptist. And then we now say there will be William Branham. There will be a Gentile one. There will be a Gentile one, which we say is William Branham that fulfill it. And then there will be the Revelation 11 on
Elisha.
Making 5. I say, no. I have searched the scripture. I didn't see anywhere that supports that the Gentiles will have an Elijah.
True, sir. True, sir.
I have checked everywhere and I consider that doctrine to be unscriptural.
Amen.
You see? And please, don't tell me a voice told William Branham that as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my ministry, my first coming, so are you giving the message that shall forerun my second coming. That message is scriptural because he was to be part of the ministry for perfection. So if the ministry of John the Baptist saw the coming of Jesus Christ. The last ministry before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfecting ministry.
True, sir.
Therefore, William Branham spearheaded the perfecting ministry. That is the interpretation of what he had.
Amen.
If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then you will go off into idolatry and go off without knowing what you are doing. Mm. I believe that revelation. Zoe, adepts, all of you listening to me in this studio now, listen to me. As the beginning ministry for grace was from John the Baptist.
True, sir.
That is what presented Jesus. So also, there is a ministry that will forerun. After that, we have expect nothing but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is the ministry for perfection. Until you catch that, you will go off into idolatry and go off the scripture.
Amen.
But no Elijah for the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
No scripture supports it.
Wow. Thank
you. The Jewish revival. And when those prophets will come up, they will bring the meat in due season. And do you know what the effect of the meat in due season is? Revelation chapter 12.
Amen. Yes,
now,
sir.
Because there will be, the Antichrist will break the covenant, isn't it?
True, sir.
Now, if he breaks the covenant, and verse 13 and verse 14.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted
persecution.
The woman, which brought forth the man-child.
Now, why? Because this persecution is what you see under the fourth seal. Just open in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, yes. I heard the fourth beast say, come and see.
Uh-huh.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
Uh-huh.
And his name that sat on him was death.
Uh-huh.
And hell followed with him.
Uh-huh.
And power was given unto them,
mm-hmm,
over the fourth part of the earth,
uh-huh,
to kill with the sword, uh-huh, with hunger, with death, and with, uh-huh, the beasts of the earth.
Now, so you can see that is what you see in verse 13.
Yes, sir.
Read it again.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth,
he persecuted the woman.
He persecuted the woman.
And that woman is Israel.
True, sir.
Which brought forth the man-child, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, see where Elijah, why they had to, the symbol of their faith is the flying eagle now.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle.
Can you see? To do what?
That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time.
For 3.5 years.
And half a time. From
because
the
that is
of the serpent.
Because that is the period of the persecution. It's 3.5 years. So the meat in due season was what Elijah
and Moses.
And Moses, a revelation that he gave them, that immediately the persecution started, they knew where to run to. That is the Jewish revival. That is where Elijah comes in.
Hallelujah.
That is where the eagle anointing comes in. The symbol of our faith is not eagle. We are not eagles. We are eagle by revelation. Mm. But the spirit of this age now
is
the perfecting ministry, the face of a man.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, sir. Wow. I've learned so much. Meat in due season. Mm. Scriptural food, the spiritual food in due season is the fulfillment of prophecy for that day.
Sure.
And so many other things our pastor has said today.
But I want you to also note this warning before you close, because we want to bring out something. Mm. I'll bring it out from Exodus 16.
Yes, sir.
And I'll bring it out from Matthew 24.
Okay.
Let's take that of Matthew 24 first. Okay, let's take that of Exodus 16.
Exodus chapter 16. Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to note there is something there about, and this is for all of us. I want you to note something. The laid up.
Verse 19.
Okay,
and 20.
Read it from verse 19. Just read.
And Moses said,
reading.
Let no man live of it till the morning.
Yes.
Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank.
Uh-huh.
And Moses was wroth with them.
Uh-huh.
And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. Uh-huh. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, mm-hmm. 2 omers for one man. Mm-hmm. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Uh-huh. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Uh-huh. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that you will sit. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Mm-hmm. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses said. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Uh-huh. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is Sabbath unto the Lord. Uh-huh. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day...
What are they to do that to gather for six... The sixth day. 6 days
ye shall gather it.
Eh?
But on the seventh day, but which
on
the Sabbath...
On the seventh day, which is the Sabbath,
there shall be none.
There will be none. Okay, go ahead.
And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather.
Can you see?
And they found none.
Okay. They still went... Despite that you are going, they say you will not find. What did Moses say?
And the Lord said unto Moses, uh-huh. How long refuse you to keep my commandments?
How long will you keep? Don't do this. Is the order.
See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days.
So on the sixth day, he will give you the food that will last you two days. Now, I want you to take note that the Lord had said, don't keep overnight.
Yes, sir.
But on the sixth day,
keep for 2 days.
You are to keep it and it will not get rotten. You will eat it on the Sabbath day. The reason is this, that 6 days, God walked. On the seventh day,
he rested.
And what is our Sabbath? It's the millennium.
That's right.
So what we are going to eat on this sixth day, because it's a perfection.
That's right.
You know, it will not get rotten because we are going to enter the perfect day.
Amen.
So there, you will not need manna again.
Hallelujah.
What you are eating on the sixth day is what keeps you on going everlasting.
Amen.
But now you see, what did the next verse say?
Verse 29.
Yes.
See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath.
Now, verse 28.
And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandment?
Why do you refuse to keep God's command? What is the commandment? The commandment of the sixth day. What you are supposed to do in the sixth day. Spiritual food in due season. This is what you are supposed to do.
On the sixth day.
Now, that they went out on the seventh day, it simply means they did not keep enough food on the sixth day.
True, sir.
When they went there, did they find it?
At all.
Read on.
See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day.
Uh-huh.
So the people rested on the seventh day.
Now, you see. So they, by the time they went out.
Yes, sir.
Did they find any food?
At all, sir.
Did they find any food?
I thought, sir.
Okay.
That's in verse 27.
Yes.
And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none.
And that is a foolish virgin.
Hmm.
You did not have enough oil. What will happen? It will burn out.
Hmm.
And what happens? You are in trouble. That means they will not have food to eat the seventh day. That is evidence they will not be in the millennium.
Amen.
Now, in Matthew 24, where we were reading.
Yes, sir.
From verse 46.
Blessed is that servant.
Remember, verse 45, what does it say?
Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Uh-huh.
Whom his Lord had made ruler over his household,
uh-huh.
to give them meat in due season.
Yes.
Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall
when he cometh, you servants of God, see your reward here. We have work to do in this season. Blessed is that servant whom is Lord when he cometh shall find so doing what? Giving the people
meat in due season.
Please take note of this topic for ministers' conference.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Verily I say unto you,
yes,
that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Can you see?
But,
can you see? Uh-huh. But, that is in the millennium.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. That's your reward. But
and if that evil servant shall say in his heart,
uh-huh.
my Lord delayeth his coming,
uh-huh.
and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken.
Can you see that is the way we go about doing our ministry? Mm.
The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites.
With the hypocrites.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of
teeth. That is why you have Matthew 7:21.
Mm. The hypocrites.
You see?
Yes, sir.
He said you apportion their portion with the hypocrites.
Not everyone that saith unto me, okay, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my
what
Father.
What is the will of the Father?
Meat
in due season.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
You see?
Glory, hallelujah.
And if you don't do it, you begin to boast of the anointing you have. Why did he call the worker for you, worker for iniquity? It's because you did not give the right food. Mm. All you were doing is just anointing. That's why, see their testimony. What is their testimony?
Matthew 7:22. And he says, many will say to me in that day, okay, Lord,
see,
Lord,
see that testimony.
Have we not prophesied in thy name?
Meat induces in a prophecy.
And in thy name I've cast out devils.
Deliverance in a meat induces. Will that make us know what God is doing now?
And in thy name done many wonderful works.
That is all they were concentrating on.
And then will I profess unto them, okay, I never knew you.
Okay, now.
Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity.
That is the reason why in this program of this episode of Rapture Watch, two groups of people are spoken to. The servants of God, be wise and be faithful. And what qualifies you, go look for what is the meat for this season.
Amen.
And it's the season of perfection.
Amen.
Concentrate on perfecting the saints.
Amen.
Not all these politics they play in the church.
Mm.
Not all these, all manner of things. People are turned church to entertainment. People are now interested in gathering people rather than cleaning them up.
Mm.
You know, people are interested in saying what the people want to hear instead of what God wants them to hear. There is the meat in due season.
Amen.
And you too, you don't go and present yourself to be fed with today's food. You are still dangling with yesterday's food.
Worms.
And anything that is infested with worms will bring sickness. And that is why we are weak, we are sick, we die, we are rotting. Christianity has become what we are today. And nothing more to say. So people are preaching politics. Vote for this, vote for that. And I am of this, I am of that. And then all they do is packaging themselves and using teaching for doctrine, commandment of men. And then all they do is not teach people enough to keep them in that locality. Rapture is coming. It's God's expectation.
Mm.
Christ remains the cornerstone. He has turned a corner. And now we are now in the perfecting ministry. Yes.
Hallelujah.
The revival that the Pentecostals say they are having, it's yesterday's food, 1906. We have moved from that.
Amen.
We have moved from speaking in tongue and all that.
Amen.
Thing they are doing. There's more to it.
Hallelujah.
Than that.
Amen.
God bless you.
Wow. Meat in due season. What food are you eating? I hope it has not bred worms and is not stinking. Eat the food for your season. A big thank you to all sponsors of Bright TV. Till we meet again, keep watching Bright TV. Shalom.